So we're going to move forward and continue with our sermon series. We were blessed last week, and I tease, but we were blessed last week when my wife spoke the word on Mother's Day. It was really good, and she made me wear jeans today. So, you know, she's got this influence, and she had to have us matching today. With, you know, so if you notice, she's got me in white. She's in white pants and blue top, and, you know, this has got to stop. This is just not going to work. This is, you know, she lays my clothes out for me. I go, oh, is that what I'm wearing today? So, yeah, you got to match. It's got to be color coordinated. All the way down to the shoes, she says. I got blue shoes on, which she brought home for me. So, you know, guys, you have to admit, you do what they say, right? We just do what they say. All the mothers, I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day last week. All the ladies, I hope you were blessed. But I want to continue with talking about living a better story. We've been in this sermon series for a couple of weeks now, and we'll finish it up most likely next week. But it's amazing how God puts things together, and I'm going to go through here just a few minutes and give you a little bit of review of what we've been talking about. The week one of the sermon series of Living a Better Story, I spoke of what is that mean? What is living a better story, and how do you change it? We talked about the prodigal son, if you remember right, and how he went out on his own and changed his story many times by changing his life. And finally, he changed his story again by coming back to dad, coming home in repentance and humbleness. And his dad restored him to the family when he didn't expect that, and his story continued to change, to live a better story. So he left the story, changed it on his own, and his father ended up changing the story back to what he started with, which was, you're back in my home. I love you, son. And he restored him to that. And why did we do that? Why does that all happen? Why is it like that? And we talked about that in Easter when we celebrated Jesus' resurrection. His resurrection was not for us to settle, but for us to live a better story. The purpose of Jesus was for us to live that better story, which is a better Christian life. Why do we want to do that? Because we're valuable to God. God holds us in high regard. He created us in His image. He holds us in high regard. He blesses us. He wants you to live that better story. Week two, we talked about living that better story, but how do we do it? So we laid the foundation the first week, and then we moved into the second week and said, how do we actually accomplish this? How do we do it? What's it look like, and how do we accomplish it? What's the whole story look like, and then how do I get to where I really want to be in my personal life? And a lot of times, we just settle for right where we're at. We live the story, stay the story, but don't change the story, because we don't know how to do it. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and said, Pastor, I don't know how to make the change. I don't know what to do. See, when you get lost in something that you're so deep in, you just kind of like can't see the forest despite the trees. You're stuck. And so we have to start navigating our way out. And we talked about week two, what is the Christian story? We talked about there's absolutely no automatic way that you can be included into the kingdom of God. It was not an automatic process. God just didn't create us, and then we fell away by our sin, and then he says, well, that's okay. You can come back at any time. I'll just let you, you know, there had to be some type of reconciliation process. And we talked about that. We talked about how you had to make an intellectual decision with your mind. And then we talked about how we had to make a decision emotionally, how you feel about that. But that wasn't enough. You had to make a decision with your personal will. That's the staying power. I make a mind decision, I feel it, and I think it's the right thing to do. But then the personal will shows up and says, no matter what, I'm going to do this. And a lot of times you see people go through the, I think I want to do that. That's what I'm going to do. And I feel good about it, but they don't have the staying power and the personal will to see it through. And that's what kind of separates us. And really, we've got a, that saying that separates the rubber from the road or whatever, you know, that's what really, that staying power of your personal will, we talked about that. That is the Christian story. That is that decision process. We talked about a person then has an encounter with Christ himself. We talked about that's the story. You have an encounter that you've not had before, or you have a new encounter that you just never had experience before. And if you never had that encounter, then if you feel like, I'm not sure, then you didn't. If you don't feel that, if you don't know that you actually had an encounter with the creator of the heavens and the earth, you didn't. Because let me tell you something, I have had an encounter after encounter after encounter, and it is life-changing in my story. Then we had talked about people accept that challenge of denying themselves and picking up their cross. The scripture teaches us that. So therefore now, to change your story, you got to deny yourself and then pick up Jesus and go, okay, I'm going to go this way now. And your personal will has to see you through. You have to make that's the process. You've got to move through it. But then we talked about in week 2, we talked about some practical matters, practical things, and I call them the absolute truths. If you want to change your story, I gave you a number of points that says you've got to do these things. If you want to live a better Christian life, a better story in Jesus, and I want to list them for you again. The first one I said was recognize the Holy Spirit now resides within you for power, for purpose, for passion. You've got the power of the creator of the heavens and earth indwelling inside of you to help you move forward in a new story. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't. It's not something that you have to be stuck with that you say, I have to do this all by myself. You do not. There's a power there, but you have to accept and recognize that you have now connected to the power. But before you can connect to God's power, you have to make this intellectual decision to do it. You have to make this emotional decision to do it. And then you have to make the personal will that says, I'm going to do it and stay with it. Then God knows you're serious. Then you have to learn how to pray. And why do we say that? We talk about prayer a lot in church. Why? Because it's so important. Even the disciples looked at Jesus and says, Jesus, teach us how to do this. And what did he do? He taught them. Because they didn't know. And they weren't so high and mighty. Jesus, teach us. How do we do this? And he just, okay, I'll teach you. He says, I'll teach you how to pray. Do it like this. And he teaches them how to do it. Then we talked about reading and studying the Bible. This is how to walk into living the better life, the Christian story. Read and study your Bible. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. From the front to the back, it all points right to the Son. Everything flows up to the Son. And therefore, it's important that we know and read and study. If you want to change your story, you need to connect with the words of the master storyteller. You need to connect with heaven and find out what exactly God says. You know, a lot of times we pray and we wait when the answer is already in the Word and he's already sent it our way, but we are not looking in the Word, so we have absolutely no idea what the answer is. And he sits up there sometimes and says, here's the answer, and he put it in his Word, and it's there. It's in our shelf. It's on our desk. It's in our car. It's in our back pocket, in our phones. Whatever, however you carry it, we just don't go and read it. So we have no idea. How many times have you gone to the Word and you've been praying and you've opened up the Word in some of your private study time and there was an answer? I mean, that's happened to me so many times, I've lost track. That scripture that God gave me today about the first shall be last, the last shall be first, the reversal, that it was there. I said, God, thank you, there it is. And then I look at the buckets and I know he already spoke. It's covered, there. It's covered, right? Live disciplined. You know, sometimes we just don't like to hear that. You know, the world doesn't like to hear. People don't want to hear living a disciplined life, whether you're in Christ or not. Living a disciplined life takes your personal will. I'm going to live like this. And living disciplined means living disciplined in your thoughts, your actions, and your behaviors. Right? Thoughts, actions, and behaviors. I'm going to live disciplined. I'm going to attend church to affect my better story. I want to stay in the house of God. Why? Because the scripture says to. Go about the fellowship of the believers, get together. It doesn't say anything about stay home and watch it on TV, although sometimes you are stuck with that. That's why we're doing our services now on audio podcasts or whatnot, so people that can't get to church can listen to them. And some of you that didn't miss get a point or two can go home and listen. That's fine. Some people just can't get out, and I wanted to get the word to them. Some of them told me that, you know, some of our shut-ins said, you know, there's a way I could hear the sermon. I can't get there. And I said, yes, there is a way. And we're going to give it to you. And we've done that. I've gotten great feedback. Attend church often and be a witness for Christ. Outward acts bear witness to that change inside of us. Those are the points of how to live a better story. Week two. And then this is amazing because I had no idea what Nicole was going to talk on last week of Mother's Day. And I had laid out these 6 points of how to live this better story. And here comes my wife on Mother's Day. She preaches mostly on Mother's Day each year. And she comes with this message called Mighty Women of God. And right there when I saw the title, I knew exactly, that is a better story, ladies. And listen to the points she talked about. Her first point last week. She made the comment that the job of women or mothers today is so important that it cannot be done with their own strength. They need to become 5 different types of people. And here's the first one. She said, a prayer warrior. And then I go back to what I just said the week before. I said, how do you live the better story? Prayer. What does she say the very next week in her message? Prayer. If you want to be a mighty woman for God, pray. The second point she said was live in joyful obedience. What is that? That's a disciplined life. What was the point I had the week before of how to live the better story? A disciplined life. Thoughts, actions, and behaviors. What's a disciplined life? Live in joyful obedience. I mean, it's amazing how God starts to intertwine and work this out. I had not said one word to her. She had not said one word to me. We did not conspire together to put this all together in this series. She just let God speak to her after 47 hours of study that it took her to get the message done, or 46 hours or whatever it was. She looked at me last week when we left. She says, don't you make me do that till next year. Know where your true identity comes from was another one of her points. Know where your true identity comes from. How do you live the better story there? That comes from the Bible. It's amazing. I started looking at her notes. I asked her for her notes this past week, and I started looking at her notes. I said, that's my sermon the week before. I mean, it was perfect. It's just God. Then she talked about be available to God, was another point she had. A disciplined life, thoughts, actions, and behaviors. There it is again. How to walk in a better story? Be available to God. That's a disciplined life. Then she hit the fifth one, which was amazing. She said, you have to press past. She talked about the lady that needed healing, and she pressed past the crowds reaching for Jesus. She was trying to get past everything else and get to the one that could heal her, and she talked about that. What is that? That's being a witness. That's another one of the points I had to live a better story, how to do it. Be a witness. What does the lady do? She's a witness. If I can just get to Jesus, I will be healed. If I just press past all the distractions of these people and get there, my life changes. What a witness that is. See, that's a witness for us. If we would just press past all that and continue to go forward, our story would change. Did her story change in the scripture? It is amazing how God put this all together. Intertwined it. It's just amazing. And I was praying, God, should I continue on with my Living a Better Story sermon series? Because I had a couple more weeks. I just wasn't sure. And then she preaches this message, and I said, there it is. But I said nothing to her about it. I said, hey, can I have your notes? And she gave me all 410 pages of her notes. If you wouldn't use that font of 45, it wouldn't have been so bad. This woman changing their story and living a better one was the mighty one, the mighty women of God. That is living the better story. And next week, I'm going to preach on the hindrances to live the better story. What is the better story? We talked about that. How do we walk into that? We talked about that. But next week, we're going to talk about the hindrances of the better story. What keeps us from moving forward, right? But today, I'm going to talk about why do we want to live the better story? Now, how many people have heard that question of why in their life all the time? Pastor, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to live like that? Why do I want to be a Christian? Why do I want to walk in that? Why would I subject myself to why? I as a pastor and a believer, you probably have heard the question of why more than anything. It is a why. And a lot of times we cannot answer the question of why. When the men were at the men's conference here a month or so ago, one of the speakers talked about you can't answer the question of why because you don't know the word. Right, guys? That's what we heard. You got to know the word to answer the question why. That was the guy that founded the Ark Encounter. He was there as a speaker in the Creation Museum and whatnot. You've got to know what was one of the points of Get a Better Story and how to walk in. Know the word. Study the word. But why? Why do we want to do? Why do we want to do all this stuff to live a better story? You would think that would be an easy question for us. You would think that we could answer that in a split second. I want my life to be better. That's usually what the answer. I want to make a change in my life. But then when they find out what the change is and how God lays out in the word what the change needs to be, people kind of say, whoa, wait a second. I don't want to read the word like that. I don't want to make these decisions. I don't want to go through this process. I don't want to have to do. I don't want to. And God doesn't force himself on any of us. He says, fine. Go about your story. But I will assure you, church, that at some point you will want to change that story. A pastor preached to me many years ago. He preached a sermon on God will drive you to your knees. You might as well go willingly. You are going. You might as well go on your terms because God's going to send you there. I'd rather go on my terms and change the story as opposed to God saying, your story needs to change. I have had enough. I'm going to drive you to your knees. What does that mean? You just never know what the Lord thy God will allow to come into your life to change your story for the better. Because he's always worried about your eternal soul. He's not so much worried about whether you get a new house, new car, a couple dollars in your pocket, whatever the case may be, your health issues, as much as he's worried about where are you going to spend eternity at. That's his, right? He wants to hang out with us forever and ever and ever. Why? Because the Bible says he created us in his image, and he wants to hang out. I mean, that's as paraphrased as I could get it, but that's basically what it says, right? So why do we do it? Well, the first reason we're going to talk about is we want to receive this personal connection to Jesus Christ. And every conversation I've had with people, I am yet to find someone that says, if God is really true, I don't still want a relationship with him. The problem is they don't necessarily believe God's true or there or, right? But if they had this assurance and they knew that there is a God, but guess what? You don't know that until you accept Christ in faith as your personal Lord and Savior. Then God reveals himself to you. But you have to walk in faith to get there. But people would say, hey, I'll do it if I knew. Well, where's the faith in that? There is none. There's no faith there. prove to me first, then I'll agree to make that intellectual decision with my heart, with my emotions and then my personal will, but you got to show me first, right? Show me first that I'm going to lose in the penny wars when I wasn't necessarily sure I was going to lose. I'm not sure I'm going to win either, so... You know, I don't know. My wife's got this power. She's got this power. But we want to receive this personal connection with Christ. We want a friend for life and one that will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm yet to find somebody that says, if this God is true, I still don't want a relationship with him. They struggle with, really, is it true? Or they struggle with, I don't want to live by these rules. I said, roles? These are how-tos. Change your life to live a better story. So the first thing we want is this connection. Who could say that I don't want to be connected with the person, the being, the creator of the heavens and the earth? I don't want to be connected there. I struggle to find someone that says that. They may not want to give up their lifestyle. They may not want to give up what they have. Or they have this perception, but I'm yet to find someone that says, I just don't want anything to do with that God if God is true. There's a disconnect. If God showed up today in the physical and stood here, I bet you every person that walked in that church would say, I want to be connected, because they would know that's God. But that's not how God does it. God wants us to walk in faith before he starts to reveal himself to you. But that's why we want to do it. We want, God instilled inside of us, church, this inherent yearning to be connected to the Creator, the heavens and the earth. It's inside of you. There's a draw there to be connected. That's the first thing. The second thing is you want to receive power. And let me tell you something. For those believers sitting here, you understand exactly what I'm telling you when I say to receive the Holy Spirit power. It's unlike any other. Why do I want to live this better story? Because we receive the Holy Spirit as a help and a companion in our lives to help us day to day get through life's challenges. You have at your disposal the power of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You have that at your disposal. It is your choice whether you accept that or not. By your mind, by your emotions, by your personal will. It's your choice. But you walk down that road and you accept that power. Therefore, the power is resonating in your life. You have access to it. It's like sticking your finger into the light socket. You'll know when that power is on and off. Right? You don't believe me? Go home and stick your finger in the light socket. And then have someone play with the light switch. You'll know. We'll know. A helper for whatever happens in your life. The Holy Spirit will reveal our sins and what we have to do to overcome them. And then give us the ability, the power to do it. That's why you want to be connected to the power. You want to be connected to Jesus and you want to be connected to his power. Why do you want to live a better story? To be connected to the Creator and connected to his power. There is no better thing. For those of us who sit here today and they know exactly what I'm talking about, you know, can you imagine going through life not having that connection to the power? Where would you be? He is our engine, our motor that drives us forward. I cannot imagine going through life today without that power to draw from. My wife needed that power last week. I need that power every single Sunday. I need that power every single day. There's a scripture in John 16:13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. The Spirit of the living God will guide you into truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. I used that scripture a week or so ago. You have at your disposal this ability to tap into God's power to help you direct your life. Why would you not go there? Why would you not at least give it a try and see what God does? It's like we told the kids growing up. I'd say, just ask, right away. You know, when they first got saved, I said, ask. Because God would deliver, to build their faith. Here's a quote for you. It says, with Jesus as the head and the Holy Spirit in our hearts, there is nothing that can stop us from living a better story. We will be blessed and be a blessing and a help to others as well. There is nothing that can stop you from living a better story if you tie in to where you need to tie in to, the power of the living God. Well, why else would we want to live the better story? Point three, take on the virtues of Christ and be transformed into his image. Jesus spent his life victoriously over sin. Quote for you. He was free to bless people in all things because he didn't have sin on his conscience to hold him back. All that selfishness, demands on others, pride, greed, lust, and every other sin imaginable that gets in our way of everything, Jesus had victory over that. There were no encumbrances to Jesus because he wasn't bound by any of it. Guess what, church? We are. Because the Bible says we're all sinners. So we have to gain victory over that. To live a better story, you have to gain victory there. We have to gain victory. We are called in this overcoming life. We are called to overcome, the Bible says. The Bible points to being overcomers, living victoriously, moving forward. When you let the light of the Holy Spirit into your heart to begin to follow Jesus and having victory over sin, then we begin to take on the fruit of the Spirit like we talked about in Galatians 5, 22 through 23 when it says, but the fruit, your life, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what you aspire to be. That's the direction. That's where you want to live. Who doesn't want to live with that in your life? Who doesn't want to live with having joy and peace and patience? Who doesn't want to live with self-control? For those sports fans here, I was watching the basketball game late last night. The Warriors and, who is it, the Trailblazers, is that right? Right? In the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, Draymond Green plays for the Golden State Warriors. And if you know anything about basketball, he's like one of the hottest tempers in the NBA. And he just has a trouble maintaining what he says, my self-control. His words, I read it this morning in the article, and he says, I just, they asked him, what transformed you in this particular series when you've had so many technical fouls in the first couple rounds, but now you are playing at a level no one's seen in a long time, and you're not getting technical fouls. And his response was this, look up the article on Fox News. It says, I'm maintaining my self-control. I have dominion over it. I mean, I don't know if he's a Christian. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, he's speaking the word right there. When I maintain my self-control, I'm living in this environment where I can excel and live a better story. He's basically saying to you, and I looked at that, I said, Lord God, thank you. He's saying I can live a better story on the basketball court because I maintain self-control now. I have dominion over me. Now, when you get dominion over you, God can do something with you. And he admitted that. He said, I've got to get my self-control. And I knew I had to get my self-control under control. I had to be in control because I wasn't in control. And he says, now I've got dominion. Now I'm making a change. Point four says we got to receive victory over sin. Well, that's what Jesus talked about. But then we got to come to this personal will thing again where we're going to say, I'm not going to do this any longer. And now here's where the rubber really meets the road, because we have to take dominion over the sin in our lives and say, I'm not going to do this. You want to live the better story. There's the victorious overcoming you need to do. We have to take dominion over that in our lives. Everyone that's sitting here today knows exactly what their sins are. We're not here to point out your sins. Our job is to love on you. It's God's job to convict us. You know, we get it all messed up in the church sometimes where you go into some church, they say, you know, sin, sin, sin. I'm not here to convict anyone's sin. That's not my job. That's not really your pastor's responsibility. That's not what we're called to do as believers. We're called to love one another. God will take care of the sin in your life if you allow him to. Or you can just go on doing things that you shouldn't be doing, but God certainly will reveal that to you, right? Has he not revealed that to you in the past? Of course he has. He has. Victory over sin. Here's a quote for you. Victory over sin means that you now have the ability and consciousness to resist sin. It doesn't mean that you are not without sin. But the temptation is overcome before it even begins. Now take a look at that on the projector behind me, on the screen behind me. It's saying that you have been now empowered to take control over those things in your life that keeps you, impedes you from living a better story. If you are a believer today, you have intellectually accepted Christ as Savior, you had the feeling, the emotions to do it, and you've got the personal will to go forward with it, and you've made that change in your life to accept Christ as Savior, and you're moving down that path, now you have the ability, through the power of God's power, to overcome those things that keep you from having a good, better story. It is the process. You just have the ability to tie into it. It is still your personal will whether you tie into it. Right? Follow that? It was Jesus' personal will not to sin. And he didn't. So he was not bound by all that like we are. But he could have been. But his personal will would not let him. Pastor, he was God. He was fully man with all the same temptations, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks to be God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the power. We have it at our disposal. We choose not to tie into it. We choose not to stick our finger in the light socket because we maybe don't want the power. I don't know. We just decide not to do it. A quote for you says, "All the misery in the world is a result of sin. As Christians, we are called to get victory over all conscious sin." In other words, we can be free from everything that makes us miserable. Now, I want to bring something to you today that makes you unmiserable. Think about all the misery you have in your life, everything you're going through, all the challenges, all the frustrations, whatever it is, think about that right now. And I want to wrap this neat package to you and hand it to you before you leave today and say, "I can change your life." And here it is. And I'm doing that today. Now, whether you take it, unwrap it, and run out today and hold on to it, that's up to you. There is your personal will. That's your decision, right? I know this lady in our family that has lived this story forever. The same story. Miserable, complaining, whining, no job, no past, no future, nothing, just exists. And always says this, that, or that, always talking about that. And people would say, "Change it, change your story." But nobody can change your story but who? You can change your story. All the pastor does today in the last few weeks and I'll do next week is lay out the roadmap of how to do it. I'm not saying the pastor always follows the roadmap, but I know it. And if I don't follow it, that's my choice. I'm not following it. I get back on the road to live a better story. God laid that out for us. Point five of how and why. Why you want to do it? Here's a big one. I want to be happy on earth. How many times have we heard that? Pastor, I just want to be happy. And then the pastor lays out, or you lay out to somebody how to be happy. Of course, based on what the word says. And we lay it out there. We give them this nicely neat package, and they have to decide if they want to be happy. Now, if we could look in the future and see how happy it would make us, maybe we would just take it right then and there, but sometimes we just don't take the package, right? The quote says, it goes like this: "It was never God's intention that we would be miserable on earth for years and then become happy in heaven. God has thoughts of peace towards us. He wants us to be happy here." Do we all agree with that? How do we know that? Nicole gave you the scripture when she started her message last week. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, the Lord God says. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and hope. Church, God wants you to be happy right where you're at. He wants you to be joyful. Galatians tells you that. He wants you to have a wonderful earthly life, but not at the sacrifice of a heavenly life. Because the heavenly life is more important to God than the earthly life. You follow me? The treasures in heaven, the Bible says, are more important than the earth treasures. I'm paraphrasing what the word says. It's more important to God. The Bible talks about laying up your treasures in heaven. Some lay up their treasures on earth. It's not a sin to have treasures on earth. It's not a sin to have treasures on earth, church. It's not a sin. But not at the sacrifice of the treasures in heaven. That's what the scripture teaches us. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. If your mind is set on the things of earth first, you're upside down. So therefore, your treasures in heaven and your treasures on earth are going to have a direct conflict with one another. And God's more concerned with treasures in heaven than what you do and your treasures on earth. So if you're setting your sights on treasures in heaven, as the scripture teaches us, God will take care of your treasures on earth. Because why? Your heart is in the right place to live a better story here. God lays out this plan of how to do it. It's up to us to walk in it. Last thing, number 6. Why do we want to live a better story? For rest and peace. Now, every parent in this room knows exactly what that means. I need some rest, and I need some peace and quiet. You don't even have to be a parent to say, I need some rest, and I need some peace and quiet. You can be a college student. You can be someone working 60, 70 hours a week at work. Whatever the case may be, I need some rest and peace and quiet. Do you think God cares about you having rest and peace and quiet? Of course he does. Listen for the still small voice of the Lord thy God and be still, the Bible says. And you're not going to be still and hear the soft-spoken voice of God when you're in chaos your whole life. If your whole life is in chaos and you need to change your story, ask yourself why your life is in chaos and do something to change the story. I'm giving you why we want to change the story. Last 2 weeks ago, I gave you how we change the story. If your life is in chaos today, you should be going back online, grabbing those messages, taking down those points, and following them one after the other. And you'll watch a story change. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things for God works for good to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Listen to this quote. Whether we understand what the end result of the situation is or we don't understand it at all, we can go through life in complete confidence and rest in God, knowing that our whole life is in the control of the creator of the universe. That doesn't mean it's always convenient or the idea of what best is entailing. It doesn't mean that. It means God allows us to experience trials, take it in the right way, are the opportunities to put to death what he wants us to put to death and experience more of what he needs. Guess what? It's not about us. The Bible says to take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me. There is a reason for that. Why? Because the creator of the heavens and the earth know a whole lot more about me than I know about me. And then one we definitely have to talk about, why we live this better story life that I already spoke to and alluded to. It's life in eternity. Eternity, life in eternity. Why do we live this better story? Why do we want to live the Christian life? Because this is not the end, church. This is not the end. This is a beginning to forever and ever and ever. It's for those of us sitting here today and saying, boy, I'm glad of that. Me too. Because many of us have had a rough story. But it's not the end chapter of the story. Death is the greatest unknown in life. Fear of death can be the cause of much worry and anxiety. More people worry about death than any other single subject in the entire world. But Christians can go through life with the hope and certainty that they will always be in the presence of the Lord. There is a connection. Why do you want to live the better story? To be connected forever and ever with the creator of the heavens and the earth, including you and I. John 11, 25, 26 says, I am the resurrection and life. We read this on Easter. The one who believes in me, although he dies, lives forever. Believing in me, you'll never die. The question comes, do you even believe this? Revelation 7, 16 through 17 says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will never beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. 17 says, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Can't even imagine. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and God then will wipe away every single tear forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. God is not bound by time. Eternity knows time of nothing other than its eternity. It's forever. Those are just a few short points. I could have went on for another 20 or 30. Because you're sitting there saying, Pastor, you forgot about this. Why I want to be a Christian and live the better story. What about this? There are so many. You now have this task to go out into the community and explain to people why you live the better story. You are the reason the community gets changed. You are the reason why people come into the kingdom. You are the reason why stories change. My wife and I keep a faith file of those that we touched, and stories change, and it's getting larger and larger and larger. We still get calls and text messages and emails and what have you from people that we've ministered to years ago. Why? Because we do this one thing. We speak life into them. You are life speakers. I'm going to ask our music team to come back to the platform as we wind up today. What an awesome responsibility you have. Sometimes I think we just don't even realize what power God has blessed us with. Let me say that again. I don't think sometimes we realize what power God has blessed us with. He's not a dictator. He gives you freedom. He explains the whole process to us in His Word. And then says, you decide to change your story. You decide what story you want to live. Here's the benefits of living this story. Here's the ramifications of living certain types of stories. You decide. And I've told you before, right in the middle, He puts this big word called choice. No one can change the story but you. And sometimes we don't change the story because we just don't know how to do it. So I try to lay out some practical things to change the story. And some of you have said to me, well, I've heard that before. Is your story changing? How many times in church have we heard pray, read the Bible, you know, these points? But when I was praying over the message, God said, speak it again. Okay, I'll speak it again. And I've been amazed at how many people have contacted me over the last few weeks by calling me, emailing me, calling the church office, leaving a message on my voicemail. I cannot believe how people are being touched because they didn't understand how to live the better story. And more importantly, they didn't know how to change it. It's the same thing. God lays it out. And so I would go back and say, this is what you got to do. And don't not come to church. Keep listening. Next week, I'm going to talk about what's the hindrances of changing the story. You know, if you want to invite somebody to church, next week would be a really good time to invite somebody. Because everybody in the entire world struggles with the hindrances of living a better story. And it's not going to be sin in your life and all that. It's going to be very practical. How do I change it, Pastor? What's the hindrances that keeps me? Well, I've laid out some here, but there'll be some different ones next week. But I'm going to ask you a couple of questions before we depart today and dismiss. And I just want to know if all heads would be bowed and all eyes would be closed. I just want to ask you a couple of questions I've asked in the last few weeks. And the first question is, how many really want to live a better story than you're living today? If that's you, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you today. Put your hand up. You can put your hand right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you today. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to have you stand in front of a congregation of a church. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. And I thank you for those 15 hands that just went up. Now, the more important question is that if you want to change your story, are you willing to commit to changing your story? If you're willing to commit by making the intellectual decision to change your story, having the emotional drive to change your story, but having the personal will to persevere to change your story, slip your hand up today. I want to pray with you. If you want to commit to changing your story, once you put your hands up, you can put your hands down. The only way that you can change your story today, church, is to make that personal decision to follow Jesus Christ. That is the first step. Everything that I have laid out in all these messages is all focused on, I accept Christ as Savior, and I'm going to have the personal will to persevere. So I'm going to give you this opportunity that you may never have again for the rest of your life because you just don't know. The Bible says you never know the hour or the day of the Lord's return. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to accept Christ as Savior, to make that intellectual decision with that emotions going, but that personal will to help you persevere and get through. I'm going to give you that opportunity here right now in 1 second so I can pray with you. If you're saying here today and you're saying, Pastor, I just want to change my story, I'm going to make this commitment to change my story. That means you either have to accept Christ as Savior or rededicate your life to heaven and walk out of here changed, moving in a different direction than you walked in on. If that is you today, church, I want to pray for you before we leave. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just wanted to see your hand slip up. So if that's you, if you want to accept Christ as Savior, just slip your hand right up right now. I just want to pray for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Once you put your hands up, you can put them down. Stand with me, church. We're going to pray for those 8 people that just changed their story today, from what they were living to what they're going to live. You're going to walk out of here and God's going to swoop down from heaven in your spirit and make changes in your life that you saw not coming at all. And God's going to speak to your heart today. And your life is going to change for the better. The answers that you have been waiting for have just arrived at Calvary Church on May 19th at 12:08 p.m. Now, it is your personal will whether you walk in that. If you want further prayer, I'd love to pray with you. We're going to pray right now for you. If you want further prayer personally, I will be available at the altar at the conclusion of our service. But Calvary Church, let's all believe for these 8 people. The 14 that says, I commit to change my story, but the 8 that accepted Christ as Savior today to make the first change. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, that you arrived here today. I thank you, Lord God, that you came into the house to change stories today. I thank you, Lord God, that there is absolutely nothing that I can do but move under your power, under a passion that I have for you to help people change stories. But those eight people today, Lord, that raised their hand in surrender, and they said, I want to change my story right here. Lord God, I pray right now for all eight of them. I pray for everybody, but specifically for those eight, Lord, that want to change their story today, to go from where they're at to where you want them to be, to make a transformation in their life and make a change in their personal story. Lord God, I pray what the word speaks to. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the life-changing story the Bible speaks. And Lord God, I pray for all eight of them today. We as a body of believers support them. We love them. Lord God, we ask that you reveal yourself in a mighty way, a new and fresh way. Empower them, Lord God, with their personal will and their commitment to live a better story. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.